fit ministers of the New Testament. And going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With the Gospel today, we see that all too familiar story of the Good Samaritan. And usually, and rightfully so, this is an opportunity to focus on the Gospel of how the Samaritan was truly charitable, that his charity outshined those who thought themselves to be justified, the priest and the Levite, that they themselves thinking them better, but having performed poorly when the opportunity of grace presented itself, they failed in doing so. But a Samaritan, a foreigner, one who was looked down upon by the Jewish people, that he comes along and he succeeds in doing what those who viewed themselves as good and justified failed to do. However, while oftentimes that is the focus, today I want to focus a bit in a different direction regarding the Gospel. Instead, I want to view it both with its connection to the Epistle and also from a more spiritual significance aspect of the importance of this text. Because with the Good Samaritan, that story contains more than simply that the story of true charity that is there. The plight of the man who is attacked by the robbers, he is akin to man, all of us, when we are assailed by temptation and we fall into sin. Look at what transpires to him. The Gospel doesn't tell us exactly why he is attacked by the robbers, but we know that in some way they fall upon him and they overpower him and they take everything that he has and leave him for dead. They beat him and wound him, and he's left completely defenseless and unable to help himself and unable to really even sustain life moving forward. We don't understand exactly why it is that he is attacked. Is it perhaps because he's let his guard down and he didn't sufficiently look about his surroundings in order to be protecting himself? Is it that he perhaps went somewhere at a time and into a place that he knows was imprudent to enter into, and he put himself in unnecessary danger? Is it perhaps that he just lacked a sufficient strength to be able to defend himself against assailants? It could be one or any or all of these things put together even. And we see in that the very same thing about how a temptation comes and it attacks us, and oftentimes if we were to fail in the face of temptation, why it is that we ended up in that place in the first place. That we have, in some way, shape, or form, by our sins, we've let our guard down. Or we have imprudently put ourselves in unnecessary temptation. Or we have been presumptuous about our own strength and relying on ourselves, rather than that focus on trying to avoid what we can in the way of temptation and trusting in strength from above when we can't. Or perhaps we haven't done what we know we should in the way of spiritual work in order to strengthen our souls and to be fortified in a way to find ourselves successful in that temptation. When we fall, if we were to sin, our spiritual existence becomes very much like that man as well. We are stripped of all that is good that we possess. What is most important is taken away from us because we have forfeited it. Sanctifying grace taken from our souls. We now left there, helpless, completely dejected, discouraged, without hope, in need of someone to come and to save us. But we do truly have a Savior. Like the Samaritan, Christ is represented by him in the parable. Our Lord is the one who comes to save dejected man in sin. Man who has beaten down and stolen from by the robbers of temptation and sin. And like the Samaritan, he has been the one who has been by the Jews and continues to be by most in society, looked down upon, cast away, and rejected as something either insignificant or undesirable altogether. The Savior he is, and true love he has for man's soul. And our Lord applies that same type of remedy to restore health and strength to soul. The remedy that is represented by the oil and wine in the gospel today. These are the sacraments. Sacraments and grace go hand in hand. The very purpose of the existence of the sacraments is to give grace. This is the very thing that they, our Lord instituted them to do. And so we see in oil and wine, most especially, that representation of the two sacraments in which we can continue to grow and strengthen on a regular basis. We see from that oil that it is oftentimes used as a salve, that it is oftentimes used to heal and to bring back strength in order and when injury has occurred. And such is the way with confession and seeing that grace has been taken away from us, that what was good has been lost, and that our souls have been injured and left for dead and there upon the wayside. We make a good and earnest confession, unload ourselves of the burden of the sins which we have incurred, and Christ is there to forgive them and to take sanctifying grace and implant it back into our souls and to make us whole and healthy again. And then from the wine, we find ourselves with that representation of Holy Communion, that in that it fortifies us more, that we find from that wine a sort of vigor that it is restored to us and that we are able to move forward with better ease and with more confidence and strength. Because with frequent reception of the sacrament of Holy Communion, by doing so worthily, if we have fallen into sin after having made a good and proper confession, that each and every single time that we are able to receive our Lord well and properly, that sanctifying grace increases in our souls, that our place becomes a more desirable dwelling place for our Lord to be, and that actual grace is given to us so that we may find ourselves strengthened and ready to take on temptation better the next time it comes around, because we have done the thing to make us stronger when we encounter it. On Friday, we had the feast of St. John Vianney. And it was interesting, in the life of St. John Vianney, there are so many, his life is truly fascinating one, and one which is a real model for sacrifice and for work for souls in order to gain so many. But St. John Vianney, at the outset of his time in Ars, he found himself faced with this extraordinary challenge and that would become ultimately his life work, and the thing that perhaps, one of the things that he is perhaps most known for, which is the administration of sacraments, as we know that he would spend up to from 10 to 14 hours a day hearing confessions alone. People would come from far and wide to do so. Well, it wasn't always necessarily that way. See, his time as a priest was post-revolution in France, and Jansenism had reared its ugly head during the revolutionary strife again, and it had taken hold of so many, influencing them, not in a sense that they were completely outside of the church, but influencing their mindsets and their hearts and the way that they viewed how grace operated in the soul so much that it became a true plague again for the French people. And for those who don't understand what Jansenism is, probably like just a little tiny explanation, it is a bit akin to Calvinism in the sense that the Jansenist viewpoint is that grace alone is what brings a man towards either virtue and salvation or not. And that God gives to some and he doesn't give to others. And if man is given grace, then he is helpless to fall in. He is not going to fall into sin and sort of predestined to do good. And if man is not given that grace, then he is predestined to always give in to temptation. And what it has as an effect is that is this sort of helplessness of mankind. It's all up to whether or not God decides to choose me at this moment to give me what is necessary for success. And it strips all love from man's heart for God. This is the ultimate effect of it. And this is what the bishop who appointed St. John Vianney to Ars warned him about as he went there. He said to him that Ars is a small village which has very little love for God. And that's exactly what he found. The people, they didn't hate the church. They didn't hate the priest. But rather, they found themselves trapped in the life of sinfulness as a whole, as a collective. People had their vices, and they didn't struggle against them. And they sort of just went along their merry way, living for the moment and time. And so few receive the sacraments with any kind of regularity whatsoever. St. John Vianney was up against a true mountain to work against this sort of spiritual apathy and general depravity of the people of Ars. But this is exactly how he approached it. He went and he worked tirelessly, day after day after day, not only ingratiating himself to the people so that they could know him and trust him, but he worked constantly at the way of instructing them in the points of the faith, teaching them exactly how grace indeed does work, that man is giving grace and he must cooperate with grace, and that it is by going to the sources of grace that he can draw from the well more and more, and then he can strengthen himself better and better, and that the works of piety put forth in his life are going to bear fruits later on. And he would encourage them. Instead of speaking down to them, instead of being cruel to them and treating them as if they were a bad dog who had done something that was naughty, he instead would go and treat them with kindness and give them hope, something that they had never had with this type of mentality, thinking that themselves already lost and that they would never attain perfection, that it was necessary for them, that they never had a thought that they should continually put forth effort because it wasn't worth their time. And yet John Vianney encouraged them onwards, always to work in a way of sanctity. And soon, little by little, more and more, confess their sins. More and more started to attend the sacraments and receive them well. More and more started to rely on their prayers again and began to perform acts of piety and leave behind the trappings of temptations of their lives. And this life work led St. John Vianney, in the end, as he was an old man, to one day reflect upon it as he walked through the cemetery of Ars. And he looked at all of the names that he recognized there, people whom he himself had buried, people who he had known, people who he had instructed, people who he had given sacraments to and helped to die good holy deaths. And his reflection was this, that this cemetery is not so much a graveyard as much as it is a reliquary. Today, it is not that we think of ourselves as falling into this sort of Jansenistic trap. In fact, really, it's a thing that has been pretty much figured out in terms of easy description of how grace works and how we are to approach it with our efforts. However, it is because of the frailty of human nature, it is a reality that oftentimes we, as a whole, people everywhere, can be affected by sort of Jansenistic spirit that comes in. Oftentimes, either coming through in some aspects of a little bit of scrupulosity, which leads to an ultra-rigorism, or, more often than that, when a person is to fall down and feel that they just cannot seem to gain enough purchase to grow spiritually. And they then sort of throw their hands up and figure, why would I confess when I do the same thing again and again? Why do I need to go to Holy Communion and do so repetitively when I feel myself to not be really worthy if I know that I'm going to sin sometime later on? Now, it's important to distinguish between a person who is just a sinner, or even a person who struggles with what we would determine as habitual sin, something that is repeated and hard to break, versus somebody who is in a situation of sin, that is, somebody who is not doing anything to remedy. It's one thing to struggle, it's another thing to, say, live in a situation like a concubinage or something like that, where that is a constant. But the person who struggles, you and me and everybody that is essentially here, us struggling to work to that end, it is sometimes that we feel ourselves unworthy of the sacraments because we just are so unsuccessful. But what we fail to realize is that these are not meant for the perfect. They're meant for the man who is assailed by the temptation, the man who is bloodied upon the ground and has been stripped of all of his worth. Christ came not for the perfect, but for the sinners. And so it is up to us to accept the remedies which he presents to us. It is up to us to, when we realize ourselves to be in sin, to immediately apply the oil to ourselves, to quickly to heal ourselves, to restore what is good that we have lost, and then to draw from that drink, which revivifies us and brings us strength so that we may be ready for the next battle that comes along our way. And that when we realize that the opportunities that afford themselves to us are just that, opportunities for grace, opportunities to grow, opportunities to strengthen our souls and to become not perfect in and of itself, for that is God, but to grow in perfection, that each day we continue that pathway to become nearer to God, both in the actions that we perform ourselves, and also in the fact that we have grown in sanctifying grace and increased that presence of Him in us, then we see the sacraments for what they really are. That true treasure trove and that normal, ordinary means of sanctification. And we come again and again to the stream to draw for the good of our souls. May God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.